Oh, that sounds awful. We're not.
You fuck. What are you doing?
It sounded good.
Oh, this is 42 minutes. Welcome. Good evening. It's December 11th, 2012. This is episode 61. And tonight we're joined with one of the editors of the Sync Book. We have Alexis Hopkins from New York City joining us, and she was initiated into Sync on stage for the Sync in the City event, where she was a member of the audience, and she was randomly drawn out of the hat to ask the Radio 8 Ball a question. And after that, I guess she became part of the crazy, because then she made her way to Sync Cabin 2 in Idaho this summer. And so... And then most recently, she was also one of the people pouring over Sync Book 2, helping Alan edit this white whale. Welcome, Alexis. It's great to have you. I also hear that you listen to 42 Minutes on a pretty regular basis.
I do. I love my 42 Minutes.
And is that the right amount of time for a show?
I'm sorry?
Is it the right amount of time for a show?
Oh, it's perfect. For what you're doing. There's other types of longer form shows that also have, you know, their place too.
I should note this week, Will and I are joined with Alan Abadesa also.
Appropriately.
I'm here representing the long form format.
The long form sync chat format.
Yeah. Exactly.
So how much of Sync Book 2 did you read?
I was in crazy amounts of shows, so I only got through about a third, and it was upsetting, but, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, but, yeah, it was good.
What is so attractive about Sync to you, may I ask?
I don't know, I've always been into kind of weird stuff, like, you know, psychology and not doing the normal thing, you know, whatever normal is, but not watching football, not whatever. So I don't know, I just feel like it's kind of like-minded people, and that's attractive. It's to me just, you know, people that are more open-minded and don't take everything for granted.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
So then, of the third of the Sync Book that you helped edit, was there anything that really stood out? Or did you get a flavor? Like, if you were going to say Sync, what would it be?
Definitely the whole extraterrestrial thing was the main. But again, from a biased point of view, I only read part of it, so I can't really, I don't want to generalize too much. But the othering, the other thing, the element was definitely, seemed like it was a lot more in this one than the first one.
And so then how much of the first one did you read?
Oh, I read the whole thing, but... You know, it took me a while, but I made it through.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because I'm not a regular blog post reader, because it's just not, you know, my thing. But I like the books and I like the radio. So.
And so I'm curious, how do you listen to 42 Minutes or Always Record? As you move through the city or? At home?
Usually it's at home, like getting ready, or yeah, usually it's the getting ready thing, like getting ready for the day or getting ready for a show or something. It's just, I'm thinking and I'm acting. I don't know.
You know what I'm curious about? So I don't remember your question when you were on stage, and were you kind of nervous when that happened in last January?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I had a feeling it was going to be me, but I didn't, you know, of course you're always
that
like,
is,
oh,
that
well,
is, that is an interesting thing to hear you say. You knew that it was going, you kind of, did you, do you feel like you wanted to? Did you make it happen?
I don't know. I was like, it was really like right before it was like a gut instinct thing, like a stomach thing. But, and it, well, it was funny because I didn't want to answer because, but I was just like not into it. I was just like, ah, whatever. And I didn't write an answer. I didn't write a question. And I was just like, no, you have to. And I was like, oh, okay, fine.
Did that lead to anything more though, as far as like the, did that open a portal to more like synchronicity for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different thing when you're the participant. It's, you know, it's like I was sucked in, and then what I was sucked in is like, oh, there's more. Oh, there's more. There's more. I mean, I mean, maybe that's kind of how everyone gets to it. Like, I don't know, but.
So then this is interesting because you're a dancer and you do perform. I mean, so people are nervous about performing, but do you think maybe you could do something bizarrely weird with nutty people because...
because I on a regular basis...
Put yourself out there.
Yeah, it's completely, I mean, I don't know, like I'm more comfortable dancing than speaking or anything else, but it's still like you still exactly like you just said, you put yourself out there, you're you give yourself to the audience, because you know I do basically live shows, you're there, like you, there's no stopping, there's no like anything, you just have to be 100% present.
I don't know if our guests know, but so would you say you're a professional dancer then?
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
Yeah.
No, she's not a professional
dancer. Well,
then
don't say that to begin with.
But no,
to
me, she is a professional
off air. And then later on say a professional dancer, because I'm getting mixed messages here.
No, she is a professional dancer. A dancer.
I'm a professional trained dancer. Like ballet trained, jazz trained, but right now the company I do is world dance, so we do like Bollywood dance from the movies, and we do belly dance, and we do Brazilian samba, and then I do like other whatever freelance kind
okay,
of stuff.
Okay, I gotta tell you a little story that happened to me a long time ago, and I want your opinion on it as being a trained dancer, okay? Okay,
yeah.
I came out to the city, working in like a mall or whatever. It's like 1998. You know,
I have to stop you because
what?
When people
damn
no,
it, this is important.
You said you came
this
out
is
to
super,
the city. I know,
super duper important. Super duper important.
But,
okay,
you can't say you came out to the city because Alan and Alexis live in the city.
Well, Denver. I mean,
oh, I know. See, there you go.
Okay.
All right. Continue.
Right. From anyways. Before I was interrupted. Much love to you, Douglas. But anyways, so I come up to the city. There's like a lot of hip-hop flair going on, and this thing called Liquid is happening where, you know, you slide step or whatever, kind of like this thing that has spawned off from Pop and Lock and like moonwalking and stuff from the 80s. They call it Liquid. Anyways, they're trying to teach it to me, and I'm just not getting it. And then we're sitting there. We're kind of... and on a higher altitude or whatever, and in my head I sit there and say to myself, I say, well, the image I have of myself in the future, I don't need to pick this up to be that person. And all of a sudden it clicked, and I was dancing for literally 2 weeks straight. Like, I could not stop myself from dancing. And then it started like morphing into like martial arts, and I started understanding a lot more than I'd ever understood about my relationship to like the spatial area around me. Now I'm a kick-ass dancer. I'm just going to tell you, I rule. All right. But
we do have a synchronistic dance studio.
You're retarded. But
no, I'm not. But this one of the Mask of God jokes that we actually have the Mask of God dancers because Sybil's a dancer and Smelly Display.
Well, there's something
really
to it. That's why.
Dance.
That's why
there's
I want to ask
there is.
Her about this.
It totally is. It's like flow. It's pure flow.
Alexis Maya is what you are on Facebook. Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, and look, yeah. Your picture is belly dancing. Of course it is. But see, do you feel this relationship between dance and martial arts? Of course there's something like this. I quickly realized, because I thought liquid or like moonwalking was like a creation of man, but it became apparent to me when I was in this space for like 2 or 3 weeks where I could do whatever my brain thought I could do, where I realized that the movements were like already there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a mind body practice. Like it's a if you want to think of it this way, it's a meditative practice, or it can be transcendental, or you know, I know what you're saying.
Well, yeah, that's fascinating from a standpoint. So like everyone kind of needs a practice to stay grounded. And it's good to have a practice that happens in your body. But what I've noticed oftentimes is that it seems like females actually do practices where they put themselves in their body, but it seems like synchromistic is kind of a male-dominated thing. What are your thoughts about that, Alexis?
Well, I have to bring up the point that April, Doug's wife, brought up at the Sync Cabin, where all the girls there were dancers, and all the guys were, you know, synchromistic
dorks
in the best possible way. I don't know, I've been thinking about this, you know, definitely I've been thinking about what's the explanation or what, you know, but I don't have the straight up answer. I know it's something you guys talk about with why there's so many more male synchronistic.
Well, I've heard people say that and I just don't think so. I think it's just a certain, but I don't know. It's weird. It's like a certain brain pattern. And there, I don't know. I think more the hint of the fanboy element of it, it draws attention to like a cosmic dance, like a cosmic rhythm, a cosmic pattern, a cosmic like choreography.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the individuals who are familiar with that concept are attracted to the subject. So it would make sense to me that, I mean, I don't know. I like some of the greatest synchromistics that I've ever had contact with have been female.
Right. No, I mean, no one's saying that females can't or not.
There's just the cerebral side to it that kind of seems. So it's the thing that's interesting to me is that there does bring a dance between the left and the right brain to make like sync happen, to recognize patterns and to tell a story. But it does seem like you start from a place where you did cultivate some weird obsession to be able to do it.
Well, does the masculine here's a concept I'd like for you guys to think about. Does masculine energy lead? Because the one problem, I dance very well with my wife now. That's how we met. But I have the hardest time.
No one's disputing your quality of dance.
No,
really.
I have the hardest time trying.
Alexis, maybe you should interview Will about his dance career.
I have the hardest time getting her to lead or to follow me. Like some females have a hard time following the lead of the masculine. Is dance a masculine energy is what I'm in the, is it the females who are more in tuned with like the receptivity of I mean, because we are dealing with male and female energy. There are male and female energies. Or we all agree upon that concept.
Yeah, but I think it's a cultural artifact that in the U.S. more women are dancers. I think that's just a cultural, like, thing. You know, in Russia, like, or wherever else, you know, an equal number of men are dancers. But here, it's kind of, there's these sticky, like, issues of if you're a dancer, you're gay, blah, blah, and, like, there's all this. I mean, maybe, I don't know.
Well, that's a good point, though. Most of, dancers, are, the stereotype is to be a gay male dancer.
Right. But only in this country. That's I just wanted to say that, like, in other places, it's not like that.
Have you traveled in your dance career?
I've, outside of the country, I've danced in Germany. And we did, it was a cultural program, and we did it with a Polish group, and obviously a German group, and then another group from the U.S. But I didn't really have much interaction with the other people whose languages I unfortunately didn't speak.
This opens up a line of thought, though. So I know in thinking about sync, everything's really quiet. Makes me nervous.
Cricket, cricket, cricket.
We're here.
He's
like, Will's not interrupting me. Something's wrong.
I know that if I think back to how I thought about the world as a younger person, that I was definitely thinking, only I didn't have any way of talking about it or explaining it to anyone. It was just how, you know, I would see the world in patterns and themes and then connect, make my own connections, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is – but then after, you know, the community kind of manifests and then we trade notes and stuff, then all of a sudden we'd be able to talk about what we're doing and have labels. But what I'm curious about is, as someone who does play different roles, you know, do you now see the connect? Between the different roles you're in, or like, did these things talk to each other, or did you see this? Did you have some notion of this before you were initiated into the world of sync?
Did I have an idea of that sync existed? Is that the question?
Well,
or I just.
So I'm wondering if you've always kind of seen. Like, was this a new revelation to you when you were handed the first volume of the Sync book? It's like, oh, this is a strange, weird way of seeing the world. Or did it make sense, you know, because you saw the world that way a little bit too?
I mean, I think I saw it that way a little, but I was completely unconscious. Or it was, or maybe not completely, but it wasn't like it is now.
And so now you do see the world differently after having... ventured through two sync books.
Yeah, so I can't do a dance show if I'm a character, then I'm like, oh wait, what is this? Like,
right, that you're trying to figure out the meaning of your role.
You're much more aware of the archetypes.
Exactly, yeah, because I've been, it's just kind of crazy. I can't even count, like, I can't count the number of things I've different, dancers I've been. I don't even know, because what happens is if you just do a dance show and it's just purely dance, then, and it's not a story and there's no narrative, then you're just like a person who's wearing a 1970s outfit doing the pony. Like, you're not, I don't know. So it's very interesting, and I've done so many of those, and I, you know, and then I've also done narratives where it's like a character, but and then there's things like the belly dance stuff is just straight up like, these are your Isis wings and this is your Isis veil, like that's what they're called and stuff. So where it's like, okay, that's really straightforward.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And Alexis, you've told me a number of things. I'm hoping maybe since I've spoken to you about this a number of times, a few things that maybe would be really interesting to put out there. You mentioned the whole wearing Isis wings on a boat, on a cruise ship. While going past the Statue of Liberty, which is Isis, of course, and these different things. And then there's also perhaps, like, after reading Andros's book, finding that your college was laid out also as a Kabbalistic tree. And then we have the thing you and I have discussed, which I actually mentioned to always record this week. I was trying to remember the exact logistics of it, but this idea of the feminine hero's journey as a sort of counterclockwise version of the masculine hero's journey. I know it's a lot to throw out there, but these are things that I think are really fascinating. I'd like to hear you talk about them.
Okay, so the first one you said was the belly dance thing. That's really, it's very straightforward. The wings, and there's pictures, you can just Google like belly dance Isis wings, and they're just like big pieces of cloth. You hold the ends, and it's a really great theatrical prop. It adds a lot. There's like veils, just a piece of cloth. We come out. We come out sometimes with them covering our face and our like upper body, and then slowly like reveal with like the unveiling. We did a show on a boat.
Holy
that was
shit. Look,
riding around Manhattan. Yeah.
So do you think there's a lot of symbolic? I mean, so it's filled with symbolism.
It's got to be known. There's no way.
I think that's pretty straightforward, and it's interesting because we do those at weddings and birthday parties, which is like, you know, it's a ritualistic like.
It's reestablishing the virgin. It's reestablishing the virgin. It's reestablishing the Isis who renewed her virginity like once a year. It's kind of like before the wedding happened. That's fucked up, because Isis has the hawk-like, I mean, if you look at Isis with her throne, she's got the wings coming out from her. That's fucked up.
Yeah. And then I haven't done the sword dance, but my director, who is, like, all pro, like, one of the best belly dancers in the world, she has a sword dance where she has a golden sword that she bounces on her head or bounces on her stomach as she dances with the rest of her body moves too, and so, you know, that sword's kind of symbolic.
Yeah. But there's the sword bridge, you know, where the knight has to cross on the razor's edge to get back.
But if she's wearing the Isis wings, then it's the golden phallus that Isis fashions.
That's what I was pointing to. Yeah.
But so then do you find yourself in the Isis role a lot? I mean, so do you know the idea of a synchromistic composite character?
Okay, so you're basically asking her that the characters that she dance, if they have a resonance?
Yeah. I mean, so, like, why wouldn't dancers have a resonance if actors have a resonance?
I've been thinking about this because that's what you guys do. I mean, that's with the actors and...
I mean, Will reads their cards, basically. Yeah. He looks at all these movies and he reads, this is what your cards say.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's just, to me, it's like I compartmentalize. I don't know. And that's just belly dance. And then I'm a samba dancer wearing a bikini and it's like, and feathers. And I don't know. And then I'm a German folk dancer wearing a dirndl. I don't know. I don't know. I just work and people will hire me. I will dance for them.
But there's got to be some. I mean, you're bringing consciousness to all of this stuff that you're doing. I think that's why, like, we talk about with the actors. And we often question if we're going to destroy the art of sync by drawing attention or talking to the actors or whatever. I think that any time you bring consciousness, I mean, once you know, like, okay, I have Isis wings on for a reason. I'm supposed to be Isis now. Like, wouldn't that make your job a little bit easier?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. It's really interesting. And it helps the whole getting into character thing, too. Because, you know, that's a process that even though I'm not an actress, I still go through, like, okay, I'm putting on my makeup and I'm becoming someone else.
Oh, so, dancing has to be an act because it's It's an artificial movement. It's not like a natural movement. You're intending for that whole 2 week period when I was flipping my shit, I came to the conclusion that that's what was happening with the bees, right? Like a bee goes out and he finds a flower and he comes back to the hive and he does like a little dance and all the other bees are like, oh shit. So one of the things that like I realized is when I had clicked over into this new territory of understanding movement, that sometimes I would go to a dance club and just sit off to the side and I could see the individuals who were catching on. Like you can see a good sometimes when even these like dance shows that you see on TV that everybody's like, oh, this is the end of Western civilization. I'm like, no. It's like when you're watching these dancers and you get chill bumps, that's the whole point. Like there's a communication there from body language. And 80% of body language is movement. 80% of the communication you have in a conversation is body language. And that's just movement.
Right.
So there's
nonverbal.
Yeah. And you become more aware of what the messages you're sending out in any like social situation. Like people do stuff unconsciously. I noticed that a long time ago, like in 97 or something, around the same time, I was working in a clothing store in a mall. If a good-looking girl came into the building or came into the shop, the guys who were working there who were just like folding clothes or whatever would start like moving towards the girl. They were like dancing up towards her. It was like – it was totally unconscious, but it was it was very telling, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I was into that for a while. I did a lot of research of, like, having your legs, you know, like this means this. If your feet point towards someone, it means you're interested in them. And, if you know, I was into that.
Right.
First.
Alexis, you went to school for psychology, did you?
Yeah, I was a psych major, too.
Awesome.
Yeah. Psychology major. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's interesting because you were asking about how I got into sync, but I actually started reading about psychology stuff in high school. And I don't know, in college, it just was the best fit for what, I don't know, I was interested in. So that's what I picked the major. But yeah, it's cool because, you know, if you guys are talking about psychedelics, I'm like, oh, yes, I studied that in this class. We talked about these drugs.
It was good that you got some hands-on field work this summer then, huh?
Hey.
No, I'm not saying that.
See? Mixed messages.
Psychedelics in the field observed. I'm not saying she did.
Whatever.
What happens stays at St. Kevin, okay?
You keep dancing around the subject matter there, Doug.
Dancing. In.
No, this is great because to me, the psychology, dance is something I've never talked about in sync or something, but it's something very, very close to my heart. Like, I came upon this epiphany. Like, there's something to this that is, like, mind-blowing. And I've read about it in other places and stuff now, and I think Timothy Leary called it the spontaneous movement. But there's, and I think that in Chinese, the Taoist language or the Taoist like signature for dance is, it means something like movement from the void or something. All of these things started making too much sense to me back in the day. So to meet someone who's into sync, who's into dancing, who's understanding like psychology and how all of these like converge and meet is pretty fun for me.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I have 100% understanding of it, but yeah, I try.
So this is the same college where you were studying psychology. Is the school that you realize is laid out as a Kabbalistic tree of life? Where were your psych classes on that tree?
Actually, the tree was in the ancient campus. They had nicknamed different parts of the campus, old campus, ancient campus, old campus, and new campus. And actually, the psychology department was in the new campus. So the ancient campus had philosophy, religious studies, music, English, and like geology. Something like that. Psychology was in the new, along with all the other, with the science and social sciences were all in the new part. So that's a good question, but yeah.
No, I think that's telling in itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the classic arts.
Okay, so mm-hmm. in what did you say this was? What's the school's name? Where is this place?
The College of William and Mary,
oh,
named okay. after you know King William and Mary, yeah. Chartered. I don't remember the date, but second oldest college in the nation after Harvard. And then it's shaped. If you look at, you can even actually go on Google Maps and type in College of William and Mary, and if you there's all the buildings are on there, and you can see it. It's actually completely symmetrical, where, you know, you have the two, you have, well, you know what the tree looks like, but it's sideways so that the base is on the east side, and then the crown is on the west side. So it's like a sideways Kabbalistic tree. But yeah, it's William Mary. So one day I just kind of realized that it was laid out that way. I read Anders' book, and then I was like, oh, hey, my college is the same thing, except it's like really like exact and linear, and that like the path, each path like connects each building to all the other buildings. Like it's crazy. I mean, I don't know if there's 22 of them or whatever, but it's pretty. Pretty interesting, and I was just like, "Oh, hey, I guess I'm really into this sync stuff," which is it was a funny moment. I was like, "Oh, I'm in it. Okay, yeah."
Huh. I'm looking at it now. Is the football stadium somehow part of it?
No, that's new. It's all the way to the it's okay. There's it's to the east. It's as far east as the college goes. There's the roads meet at a triangle. Jamestown Road is at the bottom, and then Richmond Road is the top.
Uh-huh.
And they get into a triangle at Duke of Gloucester Street, Dog Street.
Uh-huh.
And then that's in between the little triangle part is where the ancient campus tree, Kabbalistic tree is.
Oh, right in there's. Okay.
There's the Wren building is the side of it. Yeah, is that making sense?
Yeah, and then so is the extent of your Kabbalistic knowledge. Did it all come from Andras's book, or did you do some your own research after?
I did a little, but nothing. I mean, I did some Wikipedia, which seems like a sin to do for anything so ancient and esoteric or whatever, but I didn't do too much research, just to be like, oh, what does this stand for? Oh, okay. And then, you know, just whatever I've come across with things other people have said on one of the Think Book radio shows or in the book or whatever. Yeah.
Huh.
So, see, Doug, I told you we were doing some good.
What are you referring to, Will?
Nothing.
Just you're having a random moment?
Yes. I'm just saying, like, this... like
it's 33 minutes in, so, of course, 33:42.
Even if... look, it's just the dissemination of information.
You're illuminated. We're not...
She's getting information from... the sync community, like she's understanding certain things because of what we're doing. We are doing good. I mean, the conversation of all of this is, are we making people more crazy? It sounds to me like Alexis is saying, no, this is like beneficial in my life. I understand things a lot better than saying that, you know, we're driving people insane.
I think people are just crazy in general. I don't know. I think it just gets labeled differently.
Yes.
Different people get labeled differently, but I don't know. I don't think you're making people crazier.
Just to bring meaning to a space, or like, oh, there's actual meaning behind this dance, you know? So there's more than just the movement. There's actually, if you know about the symbolism, it opens it up to a whole more you know, different levels of meaning.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is exciting and fun. And this tree, I mean, it does, it looks like exactly what you're saying. It's like, wow, yeah, totally. I mean, and so that has to be intentional.
It's cool. And then there's like rituals, like the college traditions, they involve like, you know, stripping naked and running across the tree, and then you jump in the water at the other end and you go through the maze thing first. And I mean, it's just like this bizarro thing of like, you can't make this stuff up.
That's perfect. That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah.
It seems like probably this was based on maybe some, you know, a lot of fraternities are based on different forms of masonry or esoteric rites. And probably at some point this all gets handed down and handed down to the point where a lot of people are doing these things. They don't even realize that they're enacting this stuff on what's...
Oh, no. No, I mean, I would say no one I've ever talked to at the school has mentioned that or even thought about it. I mean, that I know of, because it's just you... I mean, the people, the college, when you go to your orientation aide, who is like officially an employee of the college, he tells you what it's called the triathlon, tells you what the triathlon is, and that basically everyone does it. You know, it's not
the
like
hazing initiation.
Yeah.
But then what you're saying is that there's like esoteric significance to the hazing initiation, that if you know your Kabbalah a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But I don't think many people, like, I think, you know, 1% of people realize this. I don't know. It'd be interesting to talk to people and see.
To do a poll on how much people are up on their Kabbalah.
Right.
Yeah, maybe go to the religious studies department.
Well, see, that I would have expected more enlightenment to come out of the religious department. I mean, especially like post... You know, Joseph Campbell, they should be teaching that shit all over the place. I don't know. It just seems like there should be... Maybe I'm being pessimistic. I'm already hearing pessimism in my voice. But this should be more widespread than it is.
I don't know, Will.
We're doing our part.
Yeah.
You're doing some good.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so if what you're referring to is not so much whether or not we're doing good, it's, you know, whether or not we're doing harm. Do you ever feel like it's too much? Like, oh my God, this is none of this is real. This is a bad movie. I'm the star.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
That's good.
No.
I think a few weeks after the Sink in the City event, one day Alexis called me and said, I'm having a sink attack. I'm surrounded by 42s. But I haven't heard anything like that since.
That's the fact that happened. But I got over it. And
those days are good. I don't know if getting over it.
If we start making commercials, we'll definitely use Sink Attack. It sounds like something vaguely McDonald's-y from the 80s.
Oh, y'all, it's a Sink Attack!
Well, you know, I just wasn't ready. I wasn't quite there, but no, it's okay.
Was there a lot of... What are your memories of the Sink in the City thing? I mean, was there a lot of 42s? It's such a blur for me. Because it for me, it was a part of a larger initiation into the city, and so I just had this ongoing moment.
Yeah.
But do you have memories of it? Like of the night as a thing?
Not necessarily like 42s, but yeah, I remember like different power. It was really good. It was mixed media, you know, there was the readings and, you know,
I think Halcott's video Halcott did a video with 42 and the White Rabbit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well.
He was one of the harbingers of 42. I mean, the person who connected it to Jupiter would have been Jim, but Kevin Halcott was talking about 42 before then, I think. Sorry, I'm just spitting out nerd synchro history.
Well, that'll be at the college.
The Synchromistic College.
The Think College.
That will be called the tree. We won't even hide that shit.
At one point in time, maybe it wasn't hidden. And so, like, the conspiracy guys think it's hidden, but it's not. We just, people aren't aware anymore.
Well, everybody says that the hidden stuff is intentional. That's what happens. It's like Alexis here and Andras who see things and go, maybe hidden, maybe not, but still just as valid. That's what means something, in my opinion. It's like that's what's, you know, the stuff that has been hidden even from the hiders are the cool things to me.
I agree with that, yeah. So that's the point I like to make, is even the people who are hiding stuff, even the guy who works for the marketing firm or some propagandist for the government or whatever it might be, those guys still cannot be 100% aware of what they're doing and the sinks flying around them. So the unintentional or the unconscious is always so fascinating.
Well, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Alexis.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's so much that goes on in our brains that we have no idea of what's happening. Anyway, that's all. Just, I agree. Yay. Okay.
We're reaching the end of 42 minutes, and it was fun having you. Thank you.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, now you're fully initiated. You're going to have to start a blog, or I think you did start a blog. You'll have to write a piece in Sync Book 3 then. Are you up to it?
That was the plan, but I'm like, okay, I have a year, so I'm good. I have a year to work on it.
Well, we look forward to it, and we'll definitely have you back on when we can get our hands on Sync Book 3 and read it.
Awesome.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, Alexis, this is one of my favorite interviews I've had in a while. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah.
It's been great. And it's sincere, I promise.
We'll see you all next week. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.